Blog Talk Radio. I don't know about the rest of you, but I love this time of the day. I love how the cool, crisp night air kisses the ground, leaving behind a gentle layer of dew. I love looking up into the night sky and seeing the moon shining down upon us like an old, trusted friend. I look forward to spending our Thursday nights here together on Blog Talk Radio as we travel together on this journey into the night.
Glad you are with us tonight, and we've got a great show for you, so I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yes, we do. Another great show, and this is our last show of August. Can you believe it? My goodness, where has the time gone?
I know, it's been a fast year.
It has. It's like I blinked, and we're almost into September. Mm-hmm. Anyway, before we get started tonight, I know Lisa and I would like to send our thoughts and prayers out to the people in India, Italy that mm-hmm. are trying to get their lives pulled back together after the horrible earthquake. Mm-hmm. I was mm-hmm. so excited when they pulled that little girl out of the rubble today, and she was alive, the little 10-year-old girl. So
yeah.
That was a blessing. That was a blessing. But
yes,
yeah, so many horrible things keep happening. It seems like every week we almost have to send our prayers out to somebody. But anyway,
devastation.
Yes. But there's always a bright side. Like I said, that pulling that girl out today just made my heart feel good. So
mm-hmm.
that was a blessing.
Yeah.
So Yeah. You got anything you need to let us know about, Lisa, before we get started? I know you've been so busy, girl.
No, just busy getting underway in school. I'm homeschooling, so I'm getting that all settled in, but try to write as much as I can. But, yeah, looking forward to our year in Deadly Reads. We're close to celebrating a year, so I'm looking forward to that with our radio show.
I know, isn't that exciting? I know,
it is
exciting.
Yay,
we survived a year.
Yep.
Okay, well, let's not waste any more time because we have an exciting guest to bring on. Tonight we are going to be spending the evening with April M. Rain. Now, she was born and raised in Southern California. Growing up, April was involved in many sports such as softball, surfing, tennis, and kenpo karate. Many weekends at the beach with her family included her father packing up the longboards and teaching April and her two sisters how to ride a wave. The activity that stands out the most is the 13 years April spent studying karate with her family. Sports weren't the only activities that April enjoyed. She also played the accordion for 12 years and even played for the Jerry Lewis Kids fundraisers. During those years, she learned to read and write music. Besides writing music, during her high school years, she also discovered her passion for writing words. At 15, she began writing poetry. By the time she reached the age of 20, she was writing short stories with no other intention than to get the stories from her mind to paper. After her divorce, she worked full-time and raised her two boys until she decided to follow her dream and write her first book. A year later, Enticing the Moon was published. Since then, she has written more than 25 novels and several short stories and has entered many writing contests, winning first place on several occasions. As an indie author, April writes and publishes her own books. With the increase of her book sales, she was able to give up her job in the corporate world and pursue her dream of writing stories, which she hopes capture the attention and intrigue of her readers. Wow, she is a busy, busy woman. So everybody, why don't we give April a warm, Deadly Reads welcome. And welcome to the show, April.
Thank you.
Hi, April.
So much.
Hi.
Hi.
I got a
welcome,
short in
welcome.
That bio.
Well, you want the honest truth? I did condense it down some.
Oh, I know you did. I was like, oh, thank goodness.
Well, it's because you've been so busy. Goodness sakes, girl. Mm-hmm. No, that's exciting stuff you've been doing. I tell you what,
I had fun reading it.
I had fun reading it, and it's really neat. The accordion, I had to giggle because I had a cousin that played accordion for years, and she loved it. And I remember when we'd go to my grandparents' place, we'd all sit down on the back porch, and my cousin Jan would just play and play and play, and we'd all sing songs with her. It was fun.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Beautiful music.
It's a fun instrument, but it's a very cool instrument. Like in high school, it's really uncool to say, you know, I play the accordion. So, you know.
Well, it's a shame that it's uncool because it's really quite a fun instrument, you know.
Oh,
and
I love it.
I remember her trying to teach me how to play it. I never could synchronize the in and the out with the keys.
Right.
You know, I just was not coordinated enough to do it. So she used to laugh at me about it. Anyway, on to you.
Okay.
All right. Now, shoot. Involved in sports. Now, you really did do a lot of sports when you were younger and then the music and everything. So how did these choices affect your career? I mean, quite interesting.
You know, I think as far as sports and music, I think it's really great for kids because it gives them discipline and teaches them to see things through And I think my career, working in the corporate world, I worked for one company for 23 years. So I think that mm-hmm. kind of gave me that foundation to see it through, to keep going, moving forward within this company and not quitting and moving on and, that type of thing. But mm-hmm. and, in my writing, I think the same thing. I mean, I'm dedicated. I write every single day. I make sure that I get my word count in. And I think that's really important. And I really do believe that some of that does stem from, being dedicated, going to classes for music, going to karate 3 times a week. I mean, you mm-hmm. have to do those things. And if you see it through and you do it for that many years, you have a dedication.
Right. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Now, did you pass that passion on to your boys for the surfing and karate and all that?
I did. Well, yeah, they had their own passions and they played basketball, and my oldest son mm-hmm. had played the drums for a little while, and mm-hmm. so they have they love to work out. They're into fitness, and they have their mm-hmm. own their own passions. But mm-hmm. I think for them as well, mm-hmm. that gave them that foundation and keeping them busy when they're younger, keeping their mm-hmm. minds going, because, if you don't keep the mind going as a kid, then it tends to go other directions that maybe you don't want it to go, So
that's true.
I think it's really, mm-hmm. important. So, and I'm glad that they found their own passions, that they were able to do things mm-hmm. that they enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Right.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the martial arts, yeah. I think it's a good thing to put children in, because it teaches discipline and respect. And especially for girls, it's a good thing, because it also gives them a way to protect themselves if need be.
Right.
That's
so true. And, my family, we did it as a family. So my mom, she was a black belt, and, my dad, and then us three girls. And so it was really fun to do it as a family, because if you do it by yourself, I mean, you can't really share in it with your family as much. If they're doing it with mm-hmm. you, then, you're practicing together at home, and then you're going to classes, and you're doing tournaments, and you're doing it together, and you're inspiring each other and helping each other. And I think that's really important on, like, a family level as well.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like mm-hmm. you guys had a lot of fun growing up and being
yeah.
involved together with your family like that. That's wonderful.
It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is. And the fact that, like you said, you all had that passion together and you could share it. So that's mm-hmm. those are special memories you'll always have, and that's a good thing.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Now,
yeah.
I want to know, do you still surf?
No. When I go to the beach, I always think, I have surfboards, and when I go, I don't bring them, but, I'll bring boogie boards. But when I go to the beach, I always think, I want to do that again. But what I really want to do is kite surfing. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Kite surfing? Have you ever seen that?
Mm-hmm. I've never even heard of it. Have you, Lisa? Have you heard of it?
Is that where you're actually in the plane, or not in a plane, but you're flying?
No, you're surfing,
behind.
But you have this big like kite type thing that the wind
mm-hmm.
takes it, and you're surfing that way. You're not really surfing the waves. You're surfing, across the water with, the big
kite.
Oh,
okay. I know what that is then. Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. That would be so much fun to learn, but,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of something I want to do, but I haven't taken lessons, or I haven't done it. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure with having a basic knowledge of surfing, it would probably be a lot easier for you than it would be somebody that's never done surfing at all.
Right.
At least you would understand how the water works.
That's yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe in the future I'll do that.
Right. Put it on your list.
Yeah,
I have a list.
Right.
I have a list of things that I want to do, and so I still have my little list. So I'm waiting to fulfill those things.
Are you marking them off? Are you marking them off?
I'll mark them off as I go.
Yep.
I've learned this is going to sound silly, but everybody talks about their bucket list. But I found anything mm-hmm. I planned that I wanted to do, I've never gotten to do, but I always end up tripping across things that end up being awesome anyway, so I just kind of let my bucket list fill itself.
There you go.
Hey,
you know what? In the writing world, you're like a pamster, right? Instead of a plot.
Right.
So, you know, you just let it go.
You
just let it happen.
There you go.
Pretty much. Because anytime I try to plan something, it just falls apart. You know, it's like I just gotta let it be. You know,
right.
So now, have you published any of your poetry and short stories that you wrote when you were younger?
Oh gosh, no. You know, I wouldn't even really know where to find those. I maybe in a box somewhere, but. I loved writing, but it would take a lot of editing to get that to a point where I would want to publish it, I think. So
basically, cutting your teeth, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's not something I even want to go back and revisit. I it was a part of me, you know, growing up. And the poetry, I mean, I do have the book of poetry. I do have that. I think those are personal because I wrote those poems when I was involved with someone, you know, growing up as a teenager or I had a boyfriend or whatever. And I think that those are just kind of personal that I, you know, I wouldn't really want to put out there.
Yeah, right. Oh, I understand. I tried to work on one like that, a book of poetry, and yeah, as you said, some of them were personal poems, and
right.
I just don't feel it's not there to publish them, so I put it to the side.
Yeah, that's how I feel. So
right, right.
That's funny. So now, what finally made you decide to? I know that in your bio it said, you know, after your divorce and all that, but what was that little switch that flipped that made you decide to publish?
Oh, you know, I wasn't even going to publish. What happened was the women in my family, they love to read romance books. And so they'll read one and they'll kind of pass it around and they'll buy more and then they'll pass them around. That's, you know, kind of what they do. And so I had said, I really want to write a romance book for the women in my family. I wanted to write something that they could read and pass around. And and so I sat down and I started writing. I had never written a full novel, and I sat down and started writing, writing the novel. And I printed it out. I got to the last word. It was very exciting, and I printed it out, and this was going to be the extent of it being published, just me printing it out, you know, and giving it to my family. So I printed it out, and I at this point in time, this is going to age me a little bit, but we were using floppy disks. And so
there you go.
the next morning, I got up, and I said, okay, now it's time to do the second draft. You know, I wanted to print out, see how many pages it was, so I said, now it's time to do the second draft. And I'm going to sit down and I'm going to start editing it and doing the second draft and that type of thing. And I put in the disc and it said disc corrupt. And so I lost the whole entire thing. And I was crazy enough, I had printed it the night before, which was amazing to me. But I was angry. You know, I was angry. I was like, I cannot sit down and type this whole thing into my computer again. You know, I can't do it. So I threw it in a desk drawer, and it sat there for a year. And I didn't write anything else. And when I was getting ready to move, I was packing things up, and I came across that manuscript again. And I said, I started reading it, and I had grown and matured. I mean, a year had gone by, you know. And I, you know, when you put something aside that you read, and then you pick it back up, and you say, okay, yeah, this needs changes, you know.
Exactly.
So I sat down and I started rewriting the story from the manuscript, but adding details to characters and bringing them to life more so than I had the first go around. And I ended up finishing it. And I gave it to my boss at work to read, and she read it, and she came over to my desk. She threw the book down on my desk, and she said, you need to get this published. And so that, I thought at that point, that was the seed that was planted. That was like, I want to publish my work.
Wow, what an awesome story.
Awesome.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's a great story, you know, because it's amazing what little things will trigger that, you know.
Yes.
all of us, I think, that are published will say we had a little story burning in our soul, you know, and it was wanting to get out, but, you know, sometimes life keeps us from doing it, you know, fear will keep us from doing it, and different things, you know, and you needed that year. You needed that year to,
I did.
To come, you know, to come to grips, to grow into it. And that's I love your story. That's a great story. That's
Yeah, it was a very I mean, I'm so grateful that I printed it the night before. I mean, how could I have known that was going to happen?
Yes.
You know?
Oh,
so,
my goodness, yes.
Yeah, so the fact that I did that, I am so grateful. Or the story would have been gone. I couldn't have rewritten it and, you know.
So, that is devastating when that happens, because I've done that a couple of times, and
you want to scream.
Yes, there's no, oh, yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
I remember the time Lisa's computer crashed on her, and she got a hold of me, and she goes, please tell me you have my books.
Yeah.
And so remember that time I had to send them back over to you, because I still had them on my computer, too.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Thank God for a partner.
Well, now we've gotten to where we don't even trust that stuff. We've both gotten to where we email ourselves our books.
Right.
That way they're always out there in the...
Now, I write out of Dropbox, and I've never... Everything I do, whether it's graphics, no matter what it is, I write out of Dropbox, or I do graphics out of Dropbox, whatever it is. I don't do anything, save anything to my computer, and I've never had a problem, knock on wood. You know, I've never had a problem. So I hope I never do, but, I mean, have you heard of people having problems with, like, the cloud or Dropbox or...
No, I don't know that. But I don't know that much about it myself. So I just, I've just gotten to where now I just put it in an email and email it to myself, and then I have a folder in my email account, and I put it there, and then I keep it on my computer, and then we even have a little private Facebook group between Lisa and I for Deadly Reads, where her and I, you know, we're the only ones that get on. It's a secret one that we've even where we started putting, oh, God, zip files on there.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, because you just want to hide it everywhere just in case, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, because that is a nightmare, if, you know, to put that kind of time, energy, passion, love into your work and then to have it disappear. It's like, that was a horrible, horrible moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my God, yes. It's amazing that that little voice told you, you better print this out tonight. You know, thank goodness.
Yes, I know. I am so glad. I am so thankful. And that book was Enticing the Moon. Now, that was my
Yeah, I was about to ask you, was that the Enticing the Moon? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah.
You know, I like it. It's a good book. I've written now over 40 books that I've published, and of course we grow as writers, so sometimes I think I want to go back to those beginning books and rewrite them with my voice I have now, and you know, but it's a romance book. It's probably the only romance book that I have that is straight romance. Any kind of book that has any kind of romantic tie into it usually is paranormal, or it has something else, you know. But that is just a straight romance book, and it's about a girl who is trying to find herself, and she ends up on a ranch, and the guy on the ranch had a problem, you know, had problems with the law, and, you know, a bunch of things happen, and they, you know, end up coming together and you know, growing, you know, which is really important. You know, they grow as people when they finally get together. They've grown out of kind of what they were going through, you know, so they become, so, yeah, it's a good, I mean, it's a good book. I like it, but.
Yeah.
Don't knock it down, girl. Now, your boss walked in and threw it on your desk and told you to publish it, so it's got to be good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I could rewrite it probably better now.
Yeah. But, yeah, the title is just captivating, so I like that. It immediately caught my attention. So
Thank you. Yeah.
So
and
now,
that title, I came up with that title – in, there's one scene in the book where they're in front of a lake, and this is their love scene, and they're in front of a lake, and the moon is super big, and that's where that title came from, Enticing Rain.
Okay. I like it. I can see that scene. Yeah, I can see the scene in my mind as you described it just now. So that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now, as an indie author, Lisa and I know that everything falls on our shoulders as indie authors. So now, do you do your own covers and formatting and all that fun stuff, or do you hire it out?
No, I do it all. I used to, in the beginning, hire out for my book covers, but I really wanted to learn how to do it myself and be able to do my own covers the way I wanted them done. And over the years, I have since I started AMR Global Marketing, which is a one-stop shop for all things creative. So I do a lot of book covers and box set covers and paperback covers, and I have clients now. And so I not only do my own, but I also do for others as well.
Okay.
Oh, wonderful.
That's
I see that you not only do graphic design, but you have freelance writing, editing, automation. Now, what's that?
And nonprofit.
What is automation?
So automation is like, web scraping. You want to go on, online. And now let me explain also that AMR Global Marketing has other freelancers. So I do the freelance writing. I do the graphic design. But I have a professional editor that does the editing. I have a tech guy who does the automations. So basically automation is web scraping. There's a ton of things you can do with automation, but scraping keywords on the internet. So if you wanted to look up everything that said vampire, he could, with the click of one button, scan the entire, web and come up with this list of websites that has, vampires in it, or, whatever it is you're looking for. He does mobile app. Yeah, it's amazing. He does mobile app development. So if you wanted a mobile app for your business, he would be the guy to go to. And he's really, really, really good. So he's been coding since he was 12, and he's also getting his degree. So he's a couple months away from getting his degree. So he's really
Okay. So he really knows his
stuff.
So
if you wanted to find out what your exact keywords were for, say, your novel, he would help you do that? Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he could do that. So if you put in, he could do anything. I mean, if you wanted to put in, keywords that you feel are in your novel, he can have it where you click one button and it tells you whether that's going to be a good keyword or not.
Oh, gotcha.
So,
okay.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But April and Rain, how many times am I mentioned across the entire web? He could set it up to where I click a button and it'll tell me, that day, that week, that month, however I want him to set it up, and it'll tell me how many times I've been mentioned and where I've been mentioned.
That's interesting.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is. Now, what's the nonprofit marketing part?
So I work with nonprofits. I really enjoy – one of the things, the reason why I started doing graphic design, freelance writing, all those things, is because I really enjoy helping other people. And I've always had people come to me and ask me, well, what about this, or how do you do this, and that type of thing. So because I like helping people, I also enjoy working with nonprofit organizations because they're always doing great things. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, So I have some great clients. I have one client that, goes to Haiti, and I go to Haiti with them, and I'll do the photos and the videos and the video editing and all of that stuff, and I handle all his social media. And I love that because just going to Haiti and being there and seeing the work that's being done is just a phenomenal thing.
Now, do you still work with Jerry's Kids or
no? No, that was when I was younger and I was playing the violin, and it was the studio was Milton Mann, and Milton Mann itself, the studio, we would go and we would play as a band, and we would raise money for that was when I was much younger.
But I'm sure that affected you as far as it sounds like you going to Haiti and places like that. That had a big experience, you know,
yes.
affected you. So that's why.
Yes, I love. Yeah. I love helping people. If I could help people free, I would do it. You know, if I could just like go around and help people, I would do it because I love doing that. It fills my soul to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I try to do, like with my cover designs and things like that, I try to price them as low as I can that, you know, is much maybe lower than maybe what I should. But I, you know, I want to try and help. I know how hard it is to be an indie author.
Right.
And to have to bear the weight of everything on your shoulders, you know, I know it's really important to try and find ways of doing things that maybe don't cost quite as much, unless you have a lot of money in the bank.
That's true. And that's good. You know, that's like Lisa and I, we try to help because we do know, we're like you, we know what it's like, you know, and, you know, I can't tell you the times Lisa and I have tried to help, you know, first-time authors, you know, they're kind of stuck. They don't know what to do about something. And, you know, you just want to give back because there was that one person that helped you or, you know. So,
absolutely.
You know, I believe in paying it forward, you know. You just got to pay it forward. But, wow, that sounds really, really interesting. So tell us about your Squeaky Pen blog that you have.
Yeah, so the Squeaky Pen blog is written by professionals for professionals. So, the Squeaky Pen is part of AMR Global Marketing, although it's separated because I didn't want anyone to feel like they had to go to AMR Global Marketing and buy a book cover or do anything like that. I wanted to offer, you know, just information about how to do everything in this business for the most part, from writing, editing, publishing, marketing, and then tools. And there's so many more things out there, and there's people that do things maybe differently than I do, but these are – everything on the Squeaky Pen is how I have ran my business or how I go about writing or, you know, what I do for editing tools before I send it to my editor, you know, how I go about publishing, how to publish on various platforms, that type of thing. So it's really a good resource for new writers. And even writers that are somewhat seasoned if they want to see another way of, you know, doing something. Now, I'm not the only one who writes on this. So, again, AMR Global Marketing has I have some freelancers who work with me. And they will also write in their industry. So my editor will write a blog, you know, write blogs about editing. And so you know that it's not coming from me because I'm not an editor. So it needs to come from an editor, and he, you know, he has a degree, and it has to come from him because that's what he does for a living. So anything with the web scraping, automation, mobile apps, you know, anything like that would come from Mark, who does the automation side of it. So any of those blogs are going to come from him, and I think that's really important, you know, if someone is going to read about editing or automation or website design, I want them to read about it from the person who does it.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Right.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, well, you people, those of you that maybe are thinking about getting into writing or are starting out or been for a while, go check out the Squeaky Pen. It sounds like a place to go.
I love that. I love your names. I love that you've been very smart about how you've named things. So
really,
they're very creative.
The Squeaky Pen, I love that. I'm like,
that's cute,
why did I think of that?
Okay, well, now tell us about Rains Road. Tell us that one sounds interesting too.
Rains Road is super fun, and it's a part. Everything I do really kind of falls under this big umbrella of AMR Global Marketing. So Rains Road is my travel site, but it's. What, for as far as I'm concerned, it's inspiration for writers. So it's finding writing inspiration. And I go all over the place. I try to find bizarre things in California, different things, you know, things that people don't always just see along the road or, you know, not your everyday common stuff. And I like to go there. And for me, it feeds my mind. It feeds my imagination. So when I come back and I post pictures and I write about it, I'm hoping that it'll feed someone else. And for, you know, for instance, I did one on San Juan Capistrano Mission, which is allegedly haunted. And so while I was there, I was like, wow, this is really an amazing place. And one of my books that I'm writing right now is based out of San Juan Capistrano Mission. So I hope that when people go to Raines Road, that they can browse through there, they can find things that might, you know, spark some creativity and take them on a journey of writing something about that particular area, because I provide pictures, I provide the website, the information, whatever they need, you know.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, for
now,
me, it gets me out of the house, because as a writer, mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys know that, like, mm-hmm. I could be in front of my computer 24/7, so...
Right. Oh, yeah. It's easy. It's easy. Yeah, true. Now, I have to laugh because I'm sitting here reading this notes that you sent over, and you're talking about your post about a park in San Diego where mm-hmm. the city decided to move the headstones and leave 4,000 bodies buried while turning the cemetery into a community park.
Yes.
Oh my God! Is that where Poltergeist idea came from?
I know. You know, it's interesting because in the corner of this park they have these uh-huh. headstones, and it's almost like a little memorial. So they saved certain headstones and they put them up in the corner of the park. Well, I don't think people realize that was a cemetery. At least a lot of people don't. We actually went up
right.
to a couple people that were having a picnic, and I know this is really morbid, but we were like, do you know what this park was before it was a park? And, you know, two of them did not. And then the mm-hmm. other girl did. She was from the area. But so they put up these headstones as like a memorial, but, you know, the parents let their kids run on them, play on them, mm-hmm. swing on them. It's the weirdest feeling. Because you know
yeah.
that there's 4,000 bodies underneath this park, and yet nobody really knows that they're barbecuing, they're having parties, they're just enjoying, you know, the
yeah.
day.
It's
right. weird.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
If I was buried there, I would so want to be a ghost. I could have so
right?
much fun.
Yes.
Yeah, really.
And we used the ghost app while we were there, and we actually had someone say, James on the ghost app, and one of the headstones was a James, and he said noisy was one of the words that came across on this ghost app, which is really, you know, kind of cool because it was noisy. There was just, you know, and it's there is no rest in peace here, you know.
Right, exactly.
Well, we'd be okay if you really liked children, but if you didn't, could you imagine? That'd be horrible if you never liked kids. So, I mean, that'd be bad.
Well, and, you know, you know, again, hoping that could give inspiration. I mean, there's still, in my mind, there's a billion stories that come to mind, you know.
Okay.
I'm hoping that
yes.
someone
mm-hmm.
else can read that and go, oh, man, you know, I know what I can, what if, you know, that what if.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's what mm-hmm. I was thinking. Now, you're talking about the ghost town. Is that the one out there not too far from Fort Irwin?
Well, you know, I've been to several ghost towns, but the one I put in the notes was, I think it's in Bodfish. So it's
okay.
Silver City Ghost Town. That was Silver City Ghost Town.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think it's further out than that.
I know there's one that's supposed to be not too far. I cannot remember. We used to haul freight into Fort Irwin all the time when I was still trucking with my husband. And there's supposed to be a ghost town out there in the desert, outside of Barstow.
Yeah, well, that's
that
Calico
area.
Ghost Town. I just went to that ghost town probably about 3 months ago. That's Calico Ghost Town. And
that's
that
it.
Was
that's
interesting.
The name. Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I've written the blog. Now, here's the thing, because I'm so busy, I have probably 60 blogs that are still waiting to be written, but at least, you know, I have them. I have the pictures, and I try to get them done
right.
as fast as I can, but
I'm impressed that you have the material, because that's my problem with blogs is coming up with the material ideas. So
yeah.
I'm impressed with you just for that.
So anyway, now, what was the ship? Is the ship the one there in Long Beach?
Is that
the haunted ship?
San Diego. No, that was in San Diego. And it's the, I think it was the ship. Let me see. I think it was the India ship. There's a really great story along with it. It's called The Star of India, and it's haunted. There's been several people that have died on that ship over the course of its life, and it's, you know, Ghost Hunters has been there, and so I like to watch their videos. So after I go, or sometimes before, I'll kind of see what they saw and, you know, that type of thing, and see if I feel the same thing when I go, or if, you know, a lot of times I don't. So it just depends, you know. But I like to give the details of what happened, give the pictures, and I do a lot of research. I do, I'm very thorough on my research.
Lisa and I were trying to get some different groups to come on for a Halloween show. You know, a show right before Halloween for ghost hunters and stuff, but we just never did get any feedback on anybody, so it
really
didn't work
that
out.
Would be great.
We were trying. So if you know of any ghost hunters would be interested in being a guest in October, let Lisa know.
I'll get back with you. I might actually.
That'd be great. Because that would be fun. And, you know, and if you want to join them, you can. The more the merrier. We can have fun. Well, the one I was wondering about in Long Beach, I can't remember the Mary or something, the Queen Mary or something.
Queen Mary. Yep,
in
that's
Long
haunted
Beach,
too.
It's supposed to be haunted. It is.
I stayed on the Queen Mary. I stayed on the Queen Mary once, and I didn't feel, as a matter of fact, I was one door down. I didn't even realize at the time I was one door. I was staying in a room that was one door down from the area that is allegedly haunted, and I didn't sense anything at all. But you know, it was kind of cool afterwards to go, you know, go back and go, wow, that was, I was right next to that, you know, I was right.
How fun. Yeah. See, I'm a big coward. I wouldn't go to that kind of stuff, you know.
Really?
If I think there's a ghost. No. Now, I've lived in haunted houses. I didn't know it because I can't see them or sense them, you know, but I have lived in haunted houses. But I'm very thankful that I can't, because I'm like the world's biggest coward when it comes to stuff like that. So I would be running out screaming and crying, and people would be laughing. It would be quite a scene.
So I would love to go, but I would want someone braver than me with me.
No, you're not going anywhere. We're going to see this through together, you know.
How funny. Oh, well. Got to keep life interesting. You know what? I mean, someday we might be a ghost and we could be out scaring people. So who knows? You know?
Yeah.
I never know.
I think it'd be fun.
Well, it would be fun to go back and torment those people that really made your life miserable a few times in your life, you know, just, you know, a little bit of payback, you know.
Yeah.
And chains in their hall or something.
Well, we need to hear about some of your stories you've written.
Tell us some of your vampire stories.
My vampire stories, yes.
Yes.
And I love writing about vampires. I'm writing a book right now. I'm actually finishing up. It's Disciples of the Damned, and I wrote it like a TV series. So there's four short stories and then one season finale novel. And I'm on season two, episode four, so it would be book number nine, and I'm getting ready. That's going to publish next week. And that's a vampire biker story, and my stories are very gritty. They're not romantic at all. I mean, there's usually a thread of romance, or at least a love story, you know, because everything has a love story to it, and it should. But it's more gritty, you know. I mean, it's I enjoy writing action thrillers and also you know, paranormal.
So now how would you classify your vampires? How would you classify your vampires?
They're gritty.
They're gritty, huh? So a lot of blood, gore, and guts and veins between your teeth, type stuff.
There is.
Okay,
I like
cool.
that.
They're deadly.
Right.
As a vampire should be, you know.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, that's what I was missing with today's vampires. You know, I mean, nothing wrong with Twilight, but it wasn't my kind of story. I mean, I like the old-fashioned, you know, vampires and what they were. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my stories, like in the Turning series, the vampires very seldom even interact with humans. I mean, what's going on is, you know, is their clan that's, you know, up against werewolves, and, you know, it's just a lot of character, you know, development in who they are and what they are and what they've become and, you know, their environment and, you know, that type of thing. So I don't really have even much interaction with humans, at least in the Turning series. Now, the Disciples of the Damned has a little bit, but it's not, again, it's really more geared toward what my vampires, my werewolves, my, you know, dragons, whatever they are, what they're doing, what they're becoming, you know, or what they become.
Well, look at it this way. When you sit down at the dinner table, do you have a full-blown conversation with your dinner? With their dinner. Why are they going to want to talk with us?
That's
dinner.
Yeah.
That's true.
When the vampire looks at one of us, we are the bottom of the food chain.
That's right. Absolutely. And that's how my vampires, and they do have heart though. I mean, for the most part, there is, you know, I don't make them so ugly that you just don't even want to read about them, you know, but but they're not, you know, having tea with humans, you know, it's just, it doesn't work that way.
Right, exactly, right.
Oh, so in other words, their version of red wine isn't exactly what ours would be.
Right, exactly.
Oh, goodness. Well, ladies, gosh, goodness sakes, we're running out of time here. Do you have any, you've already told us what you're working on now, so do you have anything else you want to share with us, or do you have any pearls of wisdom for any budding authors out there that you'd like to share or anything like that?
I have a lot of things I want to share, and that's why I created AMR Global Marketing, the Squeaky Pen and Rains Road, so that I can, you know, share everything that I have with you know, writers, the public, anyone who's interested. So I kind of just put it all out there. I mean, if, you know, anyone wants me to write a blog about something in particular when it comes to writing or marketing, publishing, then, you know, by all means, send me an email and I'll definitely go that route. I know a lot of things have been touched on quite a few times on the internet by other great sources, you know, but I just give it the way I just give it the way I do it, you know, so.
Well, we do have all of your links here on the show, and then we'll have them on the website also, deadlyreads.com. On the Deadly Reads Radio tab, and go in there for the month of August, and we'll find April in there. But, so we have all your links so people will be able to find you. And
Thank you.
That way they can get a hold of you and hook up with you and drain your brain of all your wisdom and knowledge, because I'll tell you what, there is so much to learn, you know. I mean, everybody thinks a writer just sits down, writes a book, and boop, pops it out, and it's done, but that's the easy part, you know, on all honesty.
It is.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you know, and you get in and all of a sudden you're like, holy smokes, what did I get into, you know. So it's nice when there's people out there like you that have, you know, those pearls of knowledge and wisdom to help, because I tell Lisa all the time, I said, if it wasn't for YouTube and when I get stuck on something,
right,
you know, when I'm trying to do some of the techie stuff, I mean, YouTube is my Bible when it comes to how do I do this again, because, you know, it's hard, you know, if you've never been a tech type person, and so, it's good.
And there's so much to know. I mean, there's so much to learn. It's like you said, I mean, it's just almost endless. I mean, so many decisions to make. Do I publish wide? Do I just publish on, you know, Kindle Select or, you know, so, I mean, there's so many decisions that you need to make even just before you even publish anything.
Right. And then when you get off into the promoting part of it and all the social media that you've got to sign up for and maintain. You know,
that's a whole other full-time job.
Right. It is. I mean, it's,
Lisa and I always say, we want to get really rich selling our books, and we're going to hire somebody and let them do all that for us.
Yeah,
but unfortunately,
exactly.
We're still doing it. So.
Yes, I
agree. But that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's okay. But, you know, we have fun doing it, too. And, you know, you meet so many wonderful people on social media. And, you know, since we started doing the show, we've met some wonderful people. And
mm-hmm.
we've learned
right.
so much from our guests. I can't
mm-hmm.
tell you the times Lisa and I know I am, and I know Lisa probably is, too. While our guests are talking, we're scribbling notes because when we get off,
right.
we implement a lot of the things we've learned, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
right,
it's helped
right.
us become
That's
better.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's helped us get better at what we're doing too. So,
right.
You know,
right.
yes, we
mm-hmm.
enjoy the show and everything, but we got a little ulterior motive too because we're learning also.
Right.
Hey,
that's
great. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Wow. So, you have any last minute things you want to share with us? Anything that's coming up that's important and you want to share before we have to
you
get
know,
off?
You know, I am co-writing a book with J.R. Rain, and I'm really
okay.
excited about that. So I don't know, you know, if your listeners know of the Samantha Moon series, but I am
mm-hmm.
co-writing a book, which is going to be the origin story, which is called New Moon Rising, and that's the first book. And it is, it's the origin of Samantha Moon. So that's really exciting. And that's something that
Ooh.
Is supposed to come out in December. But it's, you know, we're working on it now. So that is something else that I'm working on as well with him. So
awesome.
I wanted to
wow.
put that out there because that's really exciting for me. I mean,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So now people will be able to learn more about it on your website. You'll have more details about it on your website, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's his series, and, you know, so we're writing it together. But, yeah, there as time gets closer, there'll be more, you know,
okay.
promotion
okay.
on it and discussion
mm-hmm.
about it. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
so.
Good.
So that's, I'm excited. That's fun. But
yeah,
other than that, I mean, again, anyone – you know, any of your listeners, new writers, seasoned writers, doesn't really matter. I mean, send me an email. And if you are interested in learning something in particular or want to know something in particular, you know, just send me an email and I'd be happy mm-hmm. to respond.
Okay.
You want to give your email address out real quick? Cause...
Oh, it's april@aprilmrain.com.
Okay.
That's an easy one.
Yeah,
it is.
That's an easy one. All right, good. AprilMRain.com. All right, wonderful. There you go, folks. Now you know how to get a hold of her
yeah.
and everything. Well, yeah, get a hold of those friends you know that are ghost hunters and
yeah.
let them tell
yeah.
them, you know, we'd love to have them on, and we would love you to join them. It'd be fun to
oh,
have you, too, if you can come
great.
Back
yeah.
and, on that night and
yeah.
share some ghost stories. And it'd be perfect
and
for Halloween.
When you get closer to publishing the story you're talking about, if you and him wants to come back on the show at the release
okay.
date, we'd be glad to have you. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fantastic. Good
so,
to
yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
you
set
guys...
it up December now, so you need to.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Be
so
great.
Get on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Lisa doesn't like to get us, Lisa doesn't like to not have us booked out as far as she can. I think
That's
she
right.
already got us booked out into November, don't you, already?
I'm feeling December now, so, yeah.
Okay,
November,
see,
December.
She likes
yeah. yeah.
Well, there was one time she was in panic mode. I'm going, Lisa, you're like a month and a half ahead. I don't care. I want more.
Oh,
I'm like, okay,
oh,
you're the
God.
Boss on that, you know?
That's great.
She keeps us going. She's the boss on that part, on booking the shows and everything. So that's her part of Deadly Reads.
Wow, that's fantastic, though. To have you
uh-huh.
booked out that far, that's great.
Yeah,
I
yep,
love it.
Yeah,
so.
yep. makes it good. Well, girl,
yeah.
I hate to say this, but we're out of time.
Okay.
Only get an hour, and then Blog Talk cuts us off. So I want to thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Mm-hmm.
We
thank
learned
you.
A lot. learned a lot, everybody. Go check out her website and her AMR Global Marketing and all that. They sound so very interesting, and like there's going to be a lot of information in there that would be beneficial.
Right.
And, yeah. And if you're just a reader, not a writer, go on there and check out her books because they sound wonderful too, and I'm sure you can get all sorts of books to curl up with. And, you know, we're going to be coming into that cooler time of the year when you're all snuggling up with a book and your blankie. So I'm sure you can warm up with some of her mean, ferocious vampires. And
yeah.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
It was our pleasure. Yes. It was our pleasure. Yeah, we look forward to having you back, so don't be a stranger.
Okay,
that's
great.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay,
good night.
Thank you. Bye.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Oh, she was really nice. I liked her.
Uh-huh. She was really nice. And I like the idea that she writes vampire stories. So,
Uh-huh.
I'm all into vampires, so I love that.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And the kind that make you go, oh, my goodness, not the, oh, aren't they sweet ones, huh?
Right. So, are you ready for next week?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, I'm telling you, folks, I am excited about next week because I get to host next week's show, and I'll be interviewing a best-selling multi-genre author whose works include thriller and suspense, YA fantasy, women's fiction and romance, and children. So a very talented author is going to be here with us next week. So join me as I interview author and founder of Deadly Reads and host of Deadly Reads Radio, Linda L. Barton. Be
Yay.
Here as I'm going to dig into your mind, your dark and twisted mind, and attempt to find out what makes you tick. So we're excited about, about this. So I'm a little nervous because I'm going to be, you know, doing your part next week. So
you're in charge. Yeah. Well, I'm nervous because I'm going to be on the other side of the questions. It's easy to be the asker instead of the asking.
Yeah. Payback.
Yeah.
You interviewed me before, so now it's payback.
Love you, Lisa.
I know you do. Yeah. Butter me up now.
Oh, it'll be fun next Thursday evening.
It will be fun. And
yep. Okay, folks, it was fun tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. Lisa and I look forward to being here every week with you, and we will see you all next Thursday when Lisa picks my brain, as she said. Goodness sakes. Good night, everybody.
Goodbye.
Good night.